Okay, Emmanuel advised me to continue the proposed homework problem and actually finish it in class. So, so we computed the contributions of the obstructions for this sort of map here, which is represented by such a graph. By the way, such graphs are called Concevich graphs. So, so this was the obstruction contribution. We want to find the normal, the Dirac characteristic of the normal bundle to this fixed point set in the moduli space. So, so the class, as Emmanuel was saying, of this bundle is given by the following. And I have to stress these are moving parts. So these are deformations of the map, infinitesimal deformations of the map. These are infinitesimal obstructions. This term, these are deformations of the domain curve. So this is equivalent. And these are automorphisms of the domain curve. OK, now, very good. You can easily do a third duality on this one, and you see this guy is 0. What about, OK, so this one is also 0 by third duality. So let's look at this guy first. OK. So you pull it back to the two components, the tangent bundle of P1. You get O of 2 on the two components. So what are the sections of this O of 2? So the sections are dz, w1, dz. W1 and W2 are the coordinates on the two components. And you would get a get dz. But you don't want to overcount this, so you strike it out. OK. So so these are all the sections or the elements of this group. So the only thing you have you are left to compute is automorphisms of the curve of the source curve sigma. OK, so so what are these? So you know what H0 of the tangent bundle of P1 is generated by. So this is again O2. So this is generated by dW1, W1, dW1, W1 squared, dW1. And the same for the other component, dW2, W2, dW2, W2 squared, dW2. OK, but you want this to be automorphisms of the domain. Obviously, these two guys do not preserve the node because they do not vanish at the node here. So you strike them out. They're not automorphisms of the domain. OK, so so you end up with only these four guys. Note that you have a relative minus sign between these two terms over here. So what you get from the normal bundle, so I can erase all of this story and make a nice table here. Sorry, you have to be fast. Right. Oh, OK, so I forgot the domain deformations. Maybe that was the objection. So the terms were mostly canceling. The only thing you was letting out was dz. But I forgot deformations of the domain. Sorry, I said previously, sorry, I apologize. I said previously this is 0. That's not true. So you can have deformations of the domain. This is a so this is a nodal component, and you can actually deform it to some smooth curve like this. And obviously, the deformation is given by the following vector, dw1 tensor dw2. This takes you to a smooth curve. Well, yeah, I'm not sure. let me recall this.
So this curve is an algebraic curve given by equation x zero.
Right.
When you deform it.
Yeah.
So you want to explain it, its epsilon diameter looks like this.
Yeah. Well, so that's a vector field that takes you takes your curve from this singular curve to a smooth curve. Well, I'm not sure. Can you? Well, okay.
So this is the representation of it as an element of each one of sigma kind of
t. Yes. 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 Okay. So let's leave this as a Homer problem. If you want to do a local to global spectral sequencer. Okay, let's leave it at this. So we have this these two remaining vector fields here. So from this, Emmanuel gave you what the torus action was on all of this coordinates. So what you have to do, you have to find out what's the S1 representation in which all of these vectors transform. So after you take the ratio of this thing, you end up with a contribution which looks like this. Okay, now this factor of 1/2 is an extra automorphism because you can actually switch these two components of the map. So actually, these two components are identified in the moduli space. So we have an orbifold singularity there. So we have to quotient by the order of the singularity there. Similarly, you can work out this thing. So there's nothing different. And you end up with the following result. OK, so the only thing that remained left to do is to take a double cover of our target curve given by z equals w squared. OK, so let's first look at the class of the normal bundle to this fixed locus in the moduli space. So I'm writing the whole thing over again. Maybe I should start using the other part of the board as well. Okay. Now, now it is true that these Ajon guys are both zero in this case. That's really you look at, you compute them by third duality. What's this guy? So this guy is isomorphic to O of 4. So it has the following sections: dz w dz up to w 4 dz. It has five sections. So what's this guy? This is obviously O of 2. And it has sections w dw, w dw, and w squared dw. Now, z is w squared. So notice, again, you have an overall minus sign between these contributions. So the only things you are left from the normal bundle to the fixed point set is dz and w4 dz. OK? Next, we want to look at the obstruction. So what's the class of this bundle Emmanuel called E? OK? So
how did you get that? I don't see how those things cancel each other.
Oh, OK. So in terms of weight, so what you look at the weight. So OK, let's see. So here you have a w squared dz. This obviously has weight 0, right? So this cancels with this w dz, which also has weight 0, right? OK.
Yeah, I'm saying it's weight 0, but because it's z equals w.
Yes. Mm-hmm. OK, so all the three middle guys, once you use z is w squared, you can cancel the contributions with these guys. OK, so this guy, the fiber, this guy at each point at each point in the moduli space is given by f star of O minus 1. These are the two plus h1 of sigma star of O minus 1. OK. Now you know these guys are the, these O minus 1s, their generators are du and dv. So as you go, you do third duality, you obtain here some vector field, which is du dw, and here dv tensor dw. OK, now you put everything together. So you get a contribution from this third guy. You look at the weight under which all of these sections transform under the total section, and you get the following thing. So unless we made some horrible algebraic mistake, you add these guys and you get some answer that's independent of the torus weight. It's in fact 1/8, as it should, because it's double. This is the invariant for a double cover of P1, and you know that it goes like 1 over n cubed. And for P1, due to the it was long known since Aspel Morrison that you only have multi-cover contributions. There are no new invariants as you go higher in degree. So you think there's an algebraic mistake? That's bad. Yeah. That's true, yeah. Okay, so anyway, so what the sections that I wrote are correct, so I leave this as homework to fix out this trivial algebraic error. You'll get lots of homeworks this afternoon. Okay, so so that's some homework that remained from Emmanuel. I don't recall the number. Let's call homework 1. So you take x is 0 minus 3 over P2, and you want to compute the degree 2 invariant, genus 0. The answer you should get is minus 45 over 8. Now, this is not so mysterious. It's minus 6 plus 3 over 8. You recognize the 3 as being the degree 1 invariant, and this is the multicover of the degree 1 invariant, and this is the Gromovich invariant at degree 2. Okay. So now, that was all for local Calabi-Yau manifolds. And you'd say, well, okay, it's good you can do such things, but why do you care? I mean, nowadays, there's the topological vertex of AKNV. So if you really need have a pressing urge to find out the some invariant for a toric Calabi-Yau manifold, you just crank up the machine. That thing is very algorithmable. You don't need to go through these complicated computations. You make algebraic errors and so on. So let's say a few things about compact Calabi-Yaus. Okay, so so what's quintic? Okay, so let's talk about the quintic. So the bottom line is here, well, I'll leave this part as a homework problem. So what do you do at, when you have a compact Calabi-Yau? So you have x. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. No. I'm not thinking about higher genus now. Okay. So I have the quintic, which is a degree 4 polynomial in P4. Okay. Degree 5 polynomial in P4. Yeah. Okay. So the generic quintic is going to be the zero locus of some sections of this bundle O5 over P4. Okay. So how are we going to set up our enumerative computation here? Well, you consider this space of maps Manuel was talking about, but now you want to use localization. And the problem is a generic quintic hypersurface inside a compact Calabi-Yau manifold doesn't admit a torus section. You use a torus, it moves around. So you can't use per se localization. But people come up with a clever trick. Think about instead of maps to the ambient manifold, in this case before admits obviously some torus section, and try to set up the problem there. Okay. So so you have this moduli space of maps to the P4 with a certain degree D, and 0 means you're looking at genus 0. 1 means that you have one marked point. So you look at curve. Your target curve is a curve that you apply with degree d, but you have a marked point on your target. So obviously you have some evaluation map here, which is the value, which gives you the value of the correct. So for a given map here, f gives you the value of that map in P4. So that's the evaluation map. You also have some forgetful map here to M00. So this is the maps to P4 degree d, but no marked points. So this forgetful map forgets, obviously, about the marked points. OK, so you can do some sort of gymnastic. You can pull back with this map. You can pull back O5 to over this space here. OK, and you you push it forward to this to M00. So you obtain some bundle. Let's call this new. So now recall that your quintic was the zero locus of a generic section of this guy. Now you have a bundle over this moduli space to P4. You construct it from that O5. And you want to define your invariant. Sorry? Basically, it means integration along the fibers. So. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there is an obvious operation you can. Sorry. Okay. So. Okay, so there is this map between these two moduli spaces, okay, and you have a bundle over here, and obviously, well, not obviously, but I mean, there is a fiber of this this map, okay, so. Yeah. So so now you can you can take this object and you integrate it over.
Like the spaces section.
Just
forward. Just
directly.
Yeah,
because
it has
zero direct
image.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, so this operation, you're going to end up with a bundle, and you want to compute the Euler characteristic of this bundle over this moduli space. So, when you count this Euler characteristic, and you look at the zeros of this bundle, these are actually going to be maps that not go into the P4, but they actually go into the Calabi-Yau manifold because the way you actually constructed this this bundle. So that's the whole meaning.
If you count all the digits of this bundle, given a particular section, yeah, and the zeros of that particular section, then it's
a
different.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was about to say that actually. Yeah.
We say it one more time.
Then you write on the blank.
Sorry?
What is this particular section you are talking about? I'm still at all. What is this particular section?
Well, you can choose. Once you start with a section here, right, which gives you the quintic. OK, well, sorry? Yeah. OK. So that's a degree 5 polynomial. It's a section of this bundle. Now you go through this operation.
Let's go through this operation.
Okay. Okay. So now you want to construct a section over this moduli space over here. Okay. And then, okay. okay, so you have this this point you okay, so I don't know. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And now.
Now you're saying if this is vanishing for any z, then the map taking vanishing too.
Yes.
That's the condition. This is the section of the. This is the section of the bundle.
It's easier to just write the fiber of B over any point. You have to write the fiber. What's the fiber of B over a point in the moduli space? And then it's obvious that B induces a section. Because so, each point you associate with an element of the fiber. Is that the
so B of X of B back is a section of mu of
the. Yeah, so P restriction of B to the.
So what is it?
What's the point in N? It's a map, right? You just pull back P.
Yeah, you have to add more parameters. So this X is actually. So X is a map from what you to before. But it depends on your also depends on parameters from the formula. So now if you look at this object, then as a function of zeta, it's a finite dimensional object because there are only finite in. So there's some finite number of holomorphic sections of the corresponding line bundles of a sigma. So if you decompose it basically into some sense, you choose some of your favorite intuitions, then you can think of this vector here. So this will be the section of. So now you want to say that taking this gap to zero, it forces your map to the line.
Yeah. Okay. So now we want to compute an integral over this. This bundle over this moduli space and 0, 0. And as Manuel was saying, this reduces to a sum over a fixed point set of the Euler characteristic of the pullback of this bundle to the fixed point set. To the Euler characteristic of the normal bundle of the fixed point set in the moduli space. Okay, so now we do have a torus section. Okay, on P4. The fixed point sets, you're going to have fixed points on P4, which are given by and any two lines that go in between such fixed points are going to be invariant lines. So these are given by, yeah, I can see. Okay. Now, as you recall, Emmanuel did the computations on the source curve. But let's say our problem we want to compute now degree one invariant of the quintic. Okay. So then our sigma, our target is a P1, and we want to map this to P4. So since we're looking at degree one, sigma is actually isomorphic with its image under F. So this sum over fixed point sets. So fixed point sets in the moduli space actually correspond to maps whose image is invariant under the torus section. Okay, so you have a sum over all the pairs y and j, because these are the curves which are invariant, pij. Of the order characteristic of the pullback of this bundle to this curve ij, and the order characteristic of the normal bundle of pij on x, on p4. So. Okay?
These are invariant under what? Is e1 or e1 to
the? No, it's that e1 to the field. All this, you have five different torus weights. Torus sections, lambda 1 to lambda 5.
This is going to be local relation with respect to all of them.
Sorry?
And this is going to be local relation with respect to all of them?
Yes.
You could say that if you chose one, which is some small point in some particular direction.
Okay, so if you look at the curve Pij, the normal bundle. This bundle new, the anti-ghost zero modes bundle, is 0.5, because you pulled it back to that curve, it's 0.5. So this the sections of this are degree 5 monomials on the corresponding curve. So what are those? Are monomials of the type xi to the a, xj, 5 minus a, a is 0 up to 5. So we have 6 such sections. And their weight under the torus section is given a lambda I plus 5 minus a lambda j. Okay. So what's the normal bundle of pij in P4? It's O of 1 plus O of 1 plus O of 1. So the normal bundle splits on a rational curve. So let's take the normal coordinates to be zk is xk over xy. These are normal coordinates to this curve. So the section, the sections of these guys are zk and w. Sorry, dk and wdk, where w is, let's say, is xj over xy. That's the coordinate on our curve. So if you look, what are the weights of these guys? So they are lambda I minus lambda k, lambda j minus lambda k, for k different than I and j. So if you go back to the localization computation, now you end up with a sum over all possible pairs of I and j of so here it's a product over k different than ij so this looks like a very nasty rational functions of the torus weight. But if you perform the sum over all the possible combinations, you're going to get 2875, which is number of lines on the quintic. Okay, so homework is if you want to do the same thing on degree 4 on the quintic. Apparently 94 on a sun machine that took only 5 minutes, so it should be much faster now. Okay, so
what is special about the quintic that enabled us to do this pull back and push forward and get us to something where we actually had a torus height? I mean, you can't just do this for any compact Clavio, right?
You can do it for any compact Clavio that's a hypersurface in a toric variety.
Okay, but for like a complete or incomplete intersection or something.
Sorry?
For an incomplete intersection or something more complicated, this you couldn't do it.
I think. I'm not quite sure, but I think there should be.
Could you, I mean, the way you did it here, you ended up getting really a reducing just a sum over a fixed point.
Mm-hmm.
Four sectional five quarters. But if is there something where you could do similar but only get a torus section on 3 or 4 and then have an interval under?
Sorry, torus section?
Like you were saying in the earlier lecture, are the cases where the best you can do is to pull back and push forward and have a torus section on less than 5 coordinates, so you then have to integrate over a fixed point space?
Yeah. So the question is if such things happen in general, or?
Yeah, I'm just wondering whether like there are examples where that's the best you can do.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, there's examples where you can't do even that, so. Sure. Okay. Okay, so now I can start. Yeah. Well, yeah, you can say it. I mean, you can. There's also some trivial integral you do at degree 3, but yeah, but that's really trivial because it's moduli space for points. Okay, so
does this method work for higher genus?
No, it doesn't work for higher genus.
For what reason? It's always singular.
Not
for the P4, yes. Yes. But that's the reason?
Yes, you cannot say that the whatever the pattern is whatever it is with the bundle of the singular space. That you can do it by section. You can't just when you work in a singular uniform, you make some difference. couple of details. So you try to evaluate the number of zeros of section of vector number and compare it to the integral of the order density.
But I remember localization works even for the case where this mg n x comma beta is this stack, so-called really bad thing.
Right. So we can do, for example, we have studied the global integral before for other two units in the region.
Yeah.
And so the fact that the case itself is similar that we talked to doing some simple integral, but the question is whether, so you can calculate this order of integrals.
Yeah.
Just that they will not then calculate the global integral of things.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Why? What failed? What's the problem?
So here we're using the following factor. We're calculating the number of zeros of this section. It's the same as some topological definition of the calculating the order of the bucket. Which is true on a small parameter. But the theorem is that the other interpretation the same definition of the topological number is like the topological number.
So you're saying there's still a notion of the instruction number we're doing this thing, and there's still a notion of number of zeros. And the number of zeros would be the grammar of Witten.
Yeah, number of zeros
is still the grammar of Witten, but it just doesn't agree with it. So.
But what no, can be,
not,
what kind of improvement can be made? No hope, or there is something? Okay.
You know, it's a bit like the usual of the old story, which was worse than the other. You use the set of this that of the emergence cause of matter.
Linear
signal. Instead of this 2875, you would get it.
So you get the
wrong number? Well, if you do the not yet. If you do it naively, on all application.
Okay, so.
But well, I thought that your construction works between zero,
no? It works very well, but it gives the right generating function. Expanded, that's what the coordinate is to give for the long run. So you need to apply it to the people who call in. It's the same answer, we expand it in language if there isn't any, but you get the same answer itself. So the calculation is correct, but the coordinate analysis, but not the, the algebraic coordinates. It's identical to the B model calculation.
Can I ask you a simple question? In the first two examples, well, the first example in the homework number one, we get fractions of some sort. Whereas in the example you just did, we get a nice number that counts something.
No, in the end you're supposed to get numbers as well. You're not supposed to get weight dependent. So if you do the computations right, you're going to get numbers. So this is just an...
Please explain what 45/8 means.
Yeah, and that
has to do with integers.
Oh, sorry?
The question is, what was the 45/8?
Oh, but I, okay. There's some time ago. I mean, people realized that if you the Gromov with invariants are going to be integers only if you subtract multicovers of a given. So here you're at degree two. And you can have a degree 2 multicover of your target curve. And these multicovers, they come up with a factor of 1 over n to the cubed. In that case, 2 to the cubed is 8. And once you subtract that, you get the new Gromov with an invariant, and that's an integer. So.
In the last case, it was
No, no, so this is degree one. There's, so there's, okay, so now my time has expired and I was about to start to what I originally planning to talk about. So I don't know what to do.